Do you want to talk about how smooth that match cut was? Don't even know what a match cut is? I'm Travis, and this is Finding Cinema, a show for all audiences, from cinephiles to the average Netflix binge watcher. We'll cover your favorite movies and some you've never even heard of. No need to wait in line at the ticket counter. Come behind the scenes and find your place in movie magic with me. What's your favorite movie quote? Mine is, "Why so serious?" Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Cinema, a show truly for all audiences. Thank you all for tuning in. I am really excited about this week's episode. On our last episode, we took a look into some essential films to watch before heading off to film school. This week, I wanted to kind of keep with the theme of looking at film from an artistic medium, which is why the topic of this week's episode is how I personally analyze films. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to make this episode a little bit more digestible and a little bit more bite-sized. So it's going to be the first half of a two-part episode where I tell you guys the process in which I personally use to break down certain films and certain movies from an analytical standpoint. And this week, I wanted to focus on directing, acting, and lighting. And then in next week's episode, I wanted to focus on cinematography, writing, and then my interpretations of movies. So how I look at them personally, or what certain themes mean to me on a personal level. And the way I wanted to display this information to you is to tell you the process of which I, of how I look at film and how I look at movies, and break it down into very easy to listen to pieces of information. And I wanted, like I said, I wanted to make this two parts because this shows the root of my love for movies and cinema and doing what I love. And hopefully through this, film can start to be viewed differently in the eyes of some, but appreciated in the eyes of everyone. And now that I've explained everything, without further ado, let's get started with our first category, which is acting. And if you've listened to some of my previous episodes, you know that acting is 100% my favorite thing to talk about. Now, the first thing that I look at when analyzing the acting performance is how well I believe the character. Some actors completely and fully embody a role and immerse themselves into the mind, body, soul, and spirit of a character. I look at how one has transformed themselves in order to embody a role, whether that is doing extensive research on a person to understand the mind and soul of a character, such as Margot Robbie did in I, Tonya, when she was playing such a graceful and harrowing role of Tonya Harding. Or maybe it's changing the way that their physical appearance is seen, such as gaining or losing weight, as Christian Bale did in The Machinist, or studying an unfamiliar accent, or even adding nuanced characteristic traits to further convey a character, such as Jake Gyllenhaal's eye twitch in the movie Prisoners, to convey stress and anxiety of the situation and the character. Now, furthermore, when looking at the acting performance of someone, it can be easy just to look at that one singular what that one singular person is displaying on screen. But in my opinion, great actors and acting performances are also how one reacts and connects with other characters in the film and on screen. Being able to say one's lines in a convincing way is one thing, but to be able to convey on-screen chemistry and truly show the connection between two characters or three characters or the whole dynamic of a group is something that elevates an acting performance immensely and something that I look for personally when I'm dissecting a film. And finally, when I'm looking at an acting performance and analyzing the compelling nature of that acting performance, one key thing to look for is vulnerability. When an actor completely lets themselves be washed away in the nature of the character and shows the audience just how brave they can be and embracing the true emotions of a role and letting their guard down for the audience to step inside the soul of another person, this is when an acting performance becomes mesmerizing and unforgettable. Now, moving on to our second category, which is directing. Now, when looking at and analyzing the directing of a film, it can be easy to look at the film from a large scale, but what stands out to me is a director's keen eye for detail. It is crucial, it is absolutely crucial for a director to be intentional with their work. And when the director focuses not only on the subject directly within a scene, but possibly the shadow of an open window to convey eeriness, or possibly the tilt of a picture on the wall of someone's home to subtly tell the audience that maybe a struggle occurred just moments before the audience catches a glimpse into the eyes of the situation. And these little nuanced details might go unrecognized at first, but they truly set the landscape for the scene as the background sets way for the structure of the foreground. And sometimes the background of a shot in a scene can convey the true meaning of a scene that isn't directly placed right in front of the audience and right, you know, smack dab in, you know, right in the face of the viewer for us to see clearly. But when we notice these nuanced details in the background, we kind of see this picture coming full circle and fully forming this idea in our mind. And along with the detail of a film, another aspect that I look for when analyzing the direction of a movie is the creativity that the director shows. And what I mean by this is when the director is given a script, it then falls on them to bring that script to life. And I mean, while they have to bring it to life, it is also important for a director to make it their own. And what I mean by this is how the film stands out and presents new ideas while essentially keeping the script true to the screenwriter. And the vision of the film is where the root of a lot of creativity comes from. When a director sees the overarching vision for a film, then they can use the resources to manifest this vision into reality. And when a director such as Christopher Nolan or Quentin Tarantino or Ingmar Bergman steps out of the norm and presents ideas and themes while showcasing creativity, and this can be seen through the use of unique camera angles and lenses, whether it's a wide-angle lens or a fisheye, or when a film is shot in 35 millimeter compared to, I believe it's 105 millimeter. All of these little nuanced lenses and details and camera angles all create a different picture for the audience, and it creates a different story. You know, if you think about some of the favorite movies that you've seen, if you were to think, how would this scene change if this was shot closer up or farther away? And one particular scene that always pops in mind when I think of close-up scenes is when Leonardo DiCaprio is staring directly into the scene, or directly into the camera, excuse me, at the end of The Revenant. I mean, just imagine what that scene would look like if it was him, you know, standing 10 yards further back using a different angle or different lens. And I think that it wouldn't, you know, to me, obviously, it wouldn't be as intense or as dramatic as the scene originally was. And to me, this creates a world of difference in filmmaking. Being able to recognize different, you know, uses of lenses and the way that directors place these lenses in different areas is just a crucial piece of why I love looking at and dissecting a film. And finally, but quite possibly the biggest and most recognizable, is a director's influence on color and sound. The color palette of a movie is something that distinguishes a film and sets it apart from another piece of cinema. When a frame is filled with color, whether that be from the possibly coloring of a set or the use of different hues on lenses, you know, you can put like a purple, I think it's actually pronounced a U, but a purplish U on a lens, or a red U, or possibly how the wardrobe and how the characters are dressed. The director has the ability to manipulate the audience's emotions through color. When looking at the color of a film that the directors can use, I believe it's important and very, very crucial to understanding the analyzation of a film and looking at it from a more analytical standpoint is to understand what specific colors convey and display which emotions. For example, red is undeniably one of the most powerful colors to use on screen. Red is most often used to show aggression, violence, and finally anger. One film that comes to mind when dealing with the color red is Lynn Ramsey's We Need to Talk About Kevin. Ramsey uses red as a tool to convey the sinister nature of the film and the direction that the story is progressing towards. And on the other side of the color range and color palette, and honestly, on the other side of the range of emotions that are displayed within movies and within film, is the use of pink Now, you might be thinking red and pink are, you know, generally close together. You know, they're both warm colors and they're both kind of on that same, you know, same color palette. But in film, pink generally signifies childhood, romance, and compelling exploration. And one prime example of this is in the film The Grand Budapest Hotel. And Wes Anderson uses pink as a predominant set color throughout the entire movie to evoke an almost whimsical sense of wonder in the audience. And it creates this childlike experience to the film. And along with the use of color and emotion in film, the use of sound, or lack thereof, can make or break a film. Sound can enhance the characteristics and story, which can make a film a complete experience. In a film, sound can be described as music, dialogue, sound effects, ambient noise, and finally background noise or soundtracks. Sound can immerse an audience into a completely different world. I mean, if you think about it, if you could imagine a movie with fantastic visual arts such as Inception or 2001 A Space Odyssey or any of the Star Wars movies, and you take all of that sound out of the equation, this would make for a waste of such a grand display of art. From a technical standpoint, the use of a sound bridge and other audio techniques can progress the story with the use of a smooth transition into the next scene. And with these smooth transitions and all of these different audio techniques, sound is such a powerful element in film. And when it's done properly, it can drastically showcase how incredible the artistic medium of film truly can be. And now that we've finished directing, let's move on to our final topic of this episode, of part one of this episode, which is lighting. The next key piece when talking about analyzing movies is lighting and just how crucial lighting can be to a film. Lighting is often referred to as one of, if not the most important pieces to filmmaking that there is and probably honestly can be. Lighting is fundamental to a film because it creates an atmosphere, a visual mood, and a sense of purpose and meaning to the audience. Just as a brief overview of what lighting can do for a film, it can reflect the psychology of a character, or lighting can support and define the genre of a film and kind of help progress how the audience feels towards this film. Or when we understand the composition of a scene, it can drag us, the audience, into the film and completely immerse us within this scene, or within, you know, whether it's a comedic scene or a menacing, sinister scene or an action scene, whatever it is, the composition of a scene and the composition of lighting is absolutely important to understand when analyzing a film, and why it truly creates the mastery of filmmaking, I should say. I mean, when discussing how lighting can define and reflect the psychology of a character, it is key to discuss a director whose use of lighting and shadows, in my opinion, can be second to none in some cases. And that is one of my favorite directors, and that is Denis Villeneuve. And when talking about Villeneuve's lighting style, the movie Prisoners, as I talked about before with Jake Gyllenhaal's Eye Twitch, is a prime example of how light and shadows can lead us, the audience, into the mind of a character and of somebody who's immersing themselves into this role. And when I reflect on the movie Prisoners, I think of the scene where the RV is first discovered by Jake Gyllenhaal's character, Detective Loki, and we see him almost just as a silhouette figure. And to me, this lighting shows us, the audience, the emptiness of his character and the lack of emotions that Gyllenhaal is showcasing when presented with this disturbing and twisted information that the kidnapper of these two young girls might be within this RV. And in another scene in the same movie, we see Paul Dano's character in the shower, and only one of his eyes is illuminated to show the audience the pain and the horror in this man's mind. I mean, not being able to see even the rest of his face through specific lighting techniques lets the audience into the character's mind and allows us to gaze into their psyche. Along with being able to develop the psychology of an individual character, lighting can help define the genre and tone of a film. And when I am analyzing and looking at a film from a more technical standpoint, rather than, you know, not necessarily just watching it for fun, because I have fun when I am analyzing movies and when I'm looking at them and when I am watching any type of movie, but more when I'm just watching it to relax or, you know, just have it on as background noise, I tend to be drawn to the use of light and the impact it plays on a film from a more macro perspective rather than a micro perspective. There are a bunch of different lighting techniques that filmmakers use to capture the mood of a film. For example, backlighting. Just as the name sounds, backlighting is when the source of light comes from behind the subject. The light can be positioned at a number of different angles, anywhere from high above the subject in the scene, or even possibly from below, or to the side of a subject. And backlighting tends to create silhouettes. And when I look at the overall tone of a film, silhouettes usually refer to mystery and tension. And when we're talking about what to look for, and what I personally look for in lighting, I think it's important to discuss the classic Hollywood technique of three-point lighting. And this technique developed the use of at least three light sources per shot. And those three light sources are key light, fill light, and backlight. And key light comes diagonally from the front of a character or subject. And fill light generally comes from a position near the camera. And finally, backlight, like I discussed, typically comes from behind or above the subject. And when analyzing a film, I believe it's so important and so crucial to understand the composition of a scene in order to understand what it means to you as the audience, both objectively and subjectively. And with lighting, directing, and acting, I hope that all three of these techniques can help you look at art or film from a more artistic standpoint, and a more technical standpoint, and a more analytical standpoint, just as some might do with music or pieces of literature. Because to me, film is just as much of an influence on art and culture as any other piece of literature or anything like that. And thank you for listening to this week's episode of Finding Cinema. I really, really enjoyed discussing the first half of how I analyze and dissect films. Please stay tuned for next week's episode as I break down cinematography, writing, and my interpretations of movies. And I especially loved this week how I got to discuss how each individual aspect of film plays a role in forming a story and creates a piece of art. And if you ever want to strike up a conversation about film or anything related to movies, or if it's about TV or streaming services or about top 10 lists or anything regarding movies or cinema or anything like that, please, please, please reach out to my Instagram @Travis A. Griffin. And always remember, keep your eyes glued to the screen.